You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, it's everyone's favorite platter of mystery meat, Drew Gasparini here with another episode of Now We're Talking, the podcast that leaves money on the nightstand for you. For those frequent listeners and subscribers, I love you. Hello there, I'm grateful for you. Tell your friends! Guys, today our guest is a singer-songwriter who is on her way to being the next big thing. And just this last year, she's blown up thanks to the attention her songs are getting on TikTok and Instagram. She boasts 1 million monthly listeners on Spotify, and her work has garnered attention from the likes of Sarah Bareilles, Dodie, Jacob Collier, and more. Her album is called Give Me a Minute, and I'm so happy she gave me a minute to chat. Ladies and gentlemen, now we're talking with Lizzie McAlpine. That is why I have hemorrhoids. Now I'm recording. Yay! Lizzie McAlpine. First of all, I just want to say, I'm so thankful you're here to talk to me and be on this podcast. There's a total reason I asked you, and you have a world that you're developing right now as a singer-songwriter, but boy, do I see the theater behind your eyes. Mm-hmm. You can't hide it, and you're kind of unabashed with it on all your social medias, and yep. I appreciate that you let that that flag fly. What was first, songwriting or theater?
Songwriting. I mean, they kind of happened at the same time.
Yeah, that's the same as me as well. By the way, do you like this graveyard of musicals past?
I do.
It's disgusting. I'm in my parents' garage, and Lizzie is in somebody's grandmother's house in Oregon right now. Because I have assessed that every house in Oregon is somebody's grandmother's house. Talk to me a little bit about, before we even get into like you and what it is you're working on and all the things that people are going to be excited about. I want them to get to know, and frankly, so do I selfishly. I want to get to know just like all the weird little isms about you that got you to now. First of all, how old are you? 21 years old? So childhood was 3 weeks ago for you. But I want to know, like, you did theater, you did songwriting, it seems like most of your whole life. Is that accurate in saying that?
Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah, so you're like an emotional twerp, too. You're just like, you like to express yourself through performing and songs. And we're cut from the same cloth, you and I.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. All right. We're going to get one word answers from Lizzie only today. Would you mind diving in just a little bit and telling me about your childhood? Where are you from? Tell me about your parents, siblings. What's your upbringing like? This is the kind of shit people want to hear about.
Yeah. Well, I'm from suburb right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Cool.
And yeah, I don't know. I have a sister. Her name's Emma. She's a dancer. We're the only creative people in our family, which is kind of wild. We don't really know where we got it from.
How?
I don't know.
Seriously though, you have gobs of talent. You have an anger-inducing amount of talent. How did you just out of the clear blue sky? And it's natural. Was there lessons involved?
I mean, I took lessons for a year in fourth grade.
And what lessons were those?
I took piano and then I took voice, but I quit very soon after because I didn't people telling me what to do.
The best ones are like that. The best ones are like that. You, me, that's it. Those two people I just referenced. Those are the best. Amazing. And how old are you? You said fourth grade? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Fourth grade, 1 year of lessons. And then you put the kibosh on that. And you're like, you know what? I got it from here, coach. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll take from here and I'll become this immense badass. Okay. You and your sister, you get along?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we go through phases like every siblings do.
The sister or the younger sister?
I'm the older sister, but she's not that much younger than me. She's only, we're like almost 2 years apart in age, but we're 1 year apart in school. So she's like a sophomore in college, I think.
My brother and I were a year apart in school and we're only 11 months apart in age. As my brother says that my mom really Catholic'd out some kids. That's how
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm here. I might have been a huge accident, but I'm doing all right. It's okay. My very first question that I have written down is, when did you know that this was your superpower, not just a skill set? When did you know that this was like the special thing? Not everybody, especially you come from a talentless family is probably the worst way to say it, but when did you know you're like, oh, I got this thing?
Honestly, it took me a while because, I mean, I never really had like a backup plan. I was always like, I'm going to do music. Like, that's just a given.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I really like thought about too much, which maybe was bad, but whatever.
Was your family supportive? I'm here now, so. Yeah, yeah, you're here now and then some. I mean, Jesus Christ, the way that you are catapulting right now is outstanding. And I'm not jealous. I'm not at all, but I will destroy you. I want to know for real, though, like your family, you say there wasn't a plan B. I feel exactly the same way. I didn't have a choice in the matter, basically. It was going to be this or it was going to be zero other things. So was your family like, yeah, do it. Go ahead. We don't understand it because.
Yeah, they're totally supportive. But when I thought about going to college, I auditioned for like all acting schools, and Berkeley was like my last choice. Like I visited and I hated it. I was like, I don't want to go here, but maybe I'll just like give it a shot and have a backup plan in case I don't get into acting schools. But I was I had an acting coach and everything senior year. I did pre-screens. I did like all this stuff. And then I got into Berkeley before I even auditioned to any of the acting schools. And I was like, okay. And then I just decided to go there.
Yo, fuck that though. Like, watch what's going to happen. This is all going to spin into like such a multi-pronged career for you. And you're definitely going to be an actress. You're definitely going to be acting.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure of it. I'm calling people right now.
Oh my God. But yeah, I have a bucket list of like things that I want to accomplish in my career, and that's like on the top
so
of it. Like I want to act.
In this little subcategory of that portion of the bucket list, there's a little bullet point that says be in a Drew Gasparini musical is what I'm hoping, because I'm not kidding, and I'm going to say it loud on the podcast. There's a lot of theater listeners listening to this podcast. The minute someone was like, "Yo, have you heard of Lizzie McAlpine?" and I went and checked you out, I flipped out. I messaged you just on a whim and I was like, what up? Like your stuff. I would love to write with you. I'd love to collaborate with you because this is exactly where I like to live musically. And then beyond that, when I started seeing that you were like also kind of from the looks of whatever you put on social media, you dip your toe a little bit in some musical theater nonsense. I went straight to my producers at Universal and I was like, okay, be with me on this. She needs to play, and this is why I'm saying it on the podcast, because I want petitions to get signed. I want fans of yours to get on board with this. She needs to play Noelle, and it's kind of a funny story, which is the adaptation of the Ned Vizzini novel I'm writing with Alex Brightman. By the way, we're done talking about you. We're just going to make it about me and my projects. I just want to talk about how I want you to start. This was all a ruse. This was all a big ruse. Now I have you here. I'm going to use it. This is a big shout out to all you theater listeners out there. Please, God, get a petition signed, get a hashtag started. Lizzie McAlpine should originate the role of Noelle when this shit goes.
No, I literally will.
Yes, you literally will. I even sent you the song. I was like, you need to sing this song. I'm obsessed with it. Anyway, okay. Back to you. Sorry. I'll do that from time to time, by the way. I'll just like leap in and make it all about myself.
No worries.
So you are going to be an actress. You tried to do school for acting. Clearly, that wasn't meant to be. You got the Berkeley thing going on. What was your experience like at Berkeley?
It was interesting. I mean, it was definitely, I'm glad that I went because I met so many people. Like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't go to Berkeley because I met my producer at Berkeley. And
Her heater just turned on.
Yeah, the people that I met there were really the like the main reason why I think I got a lot out of it. The classes, I don't know. I mean, we had to take a bunch of like, I'm not dissing Berkeley, but like.
No, I think that's like an overall college statement. Anybody you talk to is like, I don't know about the teachers, but boy, I met some good people along the way. You know what I mean? It's like the people from college is why it makes it worth it all the time.
And I mean, we had to take a lot of like music theory classes and harmony classes, and I just don't understand that stuff at all. It just goes straight over my head. Because when I write, I kind of just like write what I think sounds good, and I don't really know what I'm playing ever.
Like, that's fucking Paul McCartney, yo.
Yeah,
he did all right.
That's true. but yeah, I don't know. That part of it was like kind of sucked. And then I was still there when the semester went online. Yeah. in like last spring, and that was just horrible. I just hated online classes because I wasn't motivated enough to go to in-person classes when we had them in person.
Yeah.
Like, I just could not be bothered to get out of bed and sit at my desk.
Well, how could you possibly, not just like what the hell was going on in the world all of last year, but how could you have the motivation to get up when, like, if you just picked up your phone and looked at your own TikTok, you'd probably be thinking to yourself, I don't need to show up to this class. I don't need to be there for
this. Exactly.
I got my degree from TikTok. You might be the first to say that. Maybe they'll give you an honorary thing. And then adults will laugh at you. But how cool would that be? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is – so what, are you still in school? Are you still enrolled at Berkeley?
No.
You dropped out, or did you graduate?
I dropped out. No, I dropped out. I dropped out like over the summer. I decided that I wasn't going to go back. And then I moved to London.
How'd that go? Do you live in London now? Is that what you call home?
No. I mean, I guess it's where I want to, you know, I want it to make it my home base for like a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an interesting experience because when I got there, it was August and COVID cases there were like really low and things were like open everywhere. And it kind of felt like there wasn't a pandemic. And I was like, what's going on? This is really strange. Because I was so used to like wearing a mask every single time I left the house and stuff like that. So it was interesting. And also, like, I don't know, it was just a weird time because I was supposed to be recording my EP and then we recorded it. But then, like, after I got back from London, I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to release those songs anymore. So we just recorded the EP for nothing.
So what you recorded in London didn't get released at all? No. Wow.
And it's not going
But like,
yeah, it's really
it's
weird.
Not going to ever. There's just never a chance of that. Not like 30 years from now, you're like, all right, you little twerps, here it is. What you've all been clamoring for, the London sessions.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. That's a possibility. But I mean, as for like the foreseeable future, I don't know, because I'm weird. Because like when I write songs, I'm in like that headspace of like what I was going through when I was writing the songs. And when I like, when that period of my life ends and the stuff that I've written the songs about is no longer like what I'm dealing with, I feel like less emotionally connected to them, obviously.
Wow.
And so it just feels weird to release them. I don't know. That's just a weird
thing. Let's talk about this for a second. Songwriter to songwriter, just because I think that's so interesting. I always have a hard time releasing songs, and I'm not usually the one singing the songs, by George. It's usually some sort of fucking Broadway cat doing it for me, and seldom nowadays do I release any of my own stuff. But it's really tricky for me to say, you know what, I still feel good about that. Even if it's a week later, a month later, my emotional evolution is so quick sometimes that that song is so left in the dust, and that idea and whoever I was during that idea is left in the dust with it. And I just want to move forward and move forward and trudge ahead. But there's probably a mountain of, I'm not kidding when I say 900 songs that no one will ever hear, because I'm like, it doesn't represent my brain right now. It doesn't represent who I want to be down the line either. And I don't know if it'll ever come around and those songs will make a little more sense to me. But do you think that that's an option down the line, that maybe you'll have this weird awakening to some of those old ditties?
That's a possibility. But all I knew that, like, after we recorded that EP, it sounded very like pop. Mm-hmm. And that's like cool. I loved how it sounded, but I just was like, I don't know if that's like what I want to be right now. Like, down the line, I'd love to release like a pop EP or a pop album or something like that. But I feel like coming off of Give Me a Minute, it just felt like a little weird.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah. I agree. Can we talk about Give Me a Minute for 1 second? And then I want to ask you I want to ask you questions that have nothing to do with you or music or anything.
Yeah,
which I'm always excited about because it lets me into your goofy personality. This is basically the world's worst first date. That's how I qualify doing a podcast with me. But let's talk about your album. Yeah. Give Me a Minute. I've listened to it so many times, and I've not listened to it like, here are my favorites, and I skip through. I listened to it in succession every single time. I'm going to get emotional saying this to you, by the way. I need you, Krista, I need you to know something. 2020 was such a hard year for everybody. When I got sick with COVID, I could not, for the life of me, bounce out of that and find the motivation to write anything. And I'm contracted to, which is making it 10 times more difficult, is meeting a deadline for Karate Kid or whatever the fuck I got going on and trying to feel inspired by it. It was not until I started listening to your videos and not until this album came out that I felt like, oh my God, thank God, this is shaking me out of it. Your songs are so good that they make me want to do better. I want you to know that. Like, as a songwriter, I am so wowed by you. I hate how young you are. I do want to destroy you. It's true. But here's, I wrote down, this is what I wrote down. This is how I qualify your voice. This is what I hear when I hear you sing.
Okay.
Your voice sounds like what butterfly kisses feel like. It doesn't land on my ear. It drapes my entire body like a blanket. That is what your voice sounds like. And when you marry that with your lyrical prowess, my God in heaven, I just, honest to God, you know, and the other thing is the people that like were like, you got to check out Lizzie before I did, they're all of my friends who are not just theater friends. They're like in music. They get music and they have their thumb on the pulse of what's happening in music. I really hope, and I know that it's already starting to percolate, I hope that theater kids latch on to you like you are cocaine. I really do. Maybe cocaine was not the right. Kids don't do cocaine, actually. But the whole album, it gives me this vibe of like, you know, it's like what we need right now. It's like what we need coming out of this horrible year. And it's how I define, like, after 9/11, we had like the Damien Rices of the world coming out. And there was something just so human about the approach to his songwriting. I feel the same exact way about your songs. And my sister, Chloe, who is, she's writing for, I think she's literally in a session with Bebe Rexha right this minute upstairs. Nice. Isn't that wild? But she wanted to make sure that you knew that she is also like this theater songwriter kind of kid. And she's just so obsessed with you. My whole family is like banana shit crazy for you. This obviously made the cut. You released it. What about these songs matters more besides like the style, I guess, because you mentioned the other EP was a little more pop oriented and that didn't feel truthful. But what is it about these songs and the stories you're telling that seemed like this is what needs to come out?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, like, we had been working on this album for a year. It came out, I picked the release date specifically because it came out on August 13th. And a year ago, on August 13th, 2019, was the first day that I met my producer and the day that we started recording Apple Pie together.
And Apple Pie, what a monster. Like, I love that song.
Yeah, so I wanted it to come full circle, you know, released a year later from the day that we met, et cetera, et cetera. And originally it was supposed to be an EP. It was supposed to be Apple Pie and then like four other songs that did not make it on the album. So Apple Pie is the only one that transferred over. And then throughout the whole year, I was kind of like, I don't know. I categorize my projects as like when I think about my life, I think about it in terms of like my projects. So like the Give Me a Minute era was like, I dated this kid named Andrew and then like we broke up and then I started dating this kid named Scott. And like, it was just like, that was like the period of time that I wrote that album about. And
Yeah,
I don't know. It just like made sense. And then because I really like having my projects be a story and like be a journey that you can listen to front to back and like see
the through line.
I don't know. You can just like tell that I went through a breakup and then like reflected on myself and then like came into this new, it's just, you can just like see my journey. And I like that
a lot. Note, Young songwriters, take note. The bravery it takes to cut a vein open publicly like that is immense. What a superhero you are. This is what I mean. Like, this is the superpower. The fact that you can showcase that sort of bravery and vulnerability, which is ultimately what bravery comes down to, is so epic to me. I hope anybody who's a young theater fan or anybody who's a young songwriter or anybody who's just a fan of yours, period, really understands that you're not doing this willy-nilly. There's a purpose behind the choices you're making and how you're trying to tell your story. That's what's awesome about it is you keep this interpersonal. I really, 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 really like that. I wrote a song a long time ago that ended up in my last thing. And again, I'm not singing it, so it always feels a little like one step removed. And I get asked questions about this song all the time. The song's called Snow, and there's a line in it that goes, this is not necessarily some fun kind of song that I want my mom hearing about me. And it's all about drug issues that I had all throughout my 20s, and like waking up in the middle of a snowbank and like really hitting a certain version of rock bottom. What people don't understand is, like, my mom comes to all my shows. Like, she's going to pop up at these shows, and she's going to have to sit there through tears and experience that. That's the same kind of visceral feeling that goes out with music, regardless of who you are or what your relationship is to the writer. So that's what you're doing. Everything that you bleed out, this is like your relationship with Andrew is everybody's relationship with whoever the fuck their Andrew is. You know what I mean? That's why I think you're so universally... appealing. What do you think your appeal is? I know what it is. I'm obsessed with you. I hate how much I'm obsessed with you. This whole podcast is a really good balance of complete adoration and just I hate you so much. How do I mix those two together? But what is your appeal, would you say?
I mean, I think it's what you were just talking about. I feel like I mean, I don't really think about the fact that I'm like letting people into my deepest, darkest thoughts. Like, it doesn't really cross my mind. I just kind of do it because that's like what I've always done. And especially, I mean, I'm going to tie this back to theater because I feel like theater just impacted my entire life when I started.
It's a theater podcast. It's cool if you do that. That's all right. Yeah.
But especially my junior year, I was in this show called Eurydice, and it was like a play about, you know, Greek myth, whatever. And that show, I played Eurydice. And like the whole third act was like, I sobbed on stage every single night. And it was just like, before that, it was really hard for me to like be comfortable being vulnerable in front of people that I didn't know. And after that show, it just like, I don't know, it just became easier. And I feel like it all stems back to that show because it really like taught me how to open up.
Do you think that you have an easier time not showing emotion, but getting your emotional point across through your performance or through songwriting than you would typically in like a conversation like we're having right now?
Probably. It's much easier to sing about my feelings than to talk about them, for sure.
I do want to say, in terms of musical theater, your writing already lives in that department. And my biggest issue as a theater writer is being qualified as a theater writer, because I look at someone like you who is doing the singer-songwriter thing, who's a pop writer, who's this, that, and the other, but the way you write is so storytelling and so I am and so I want that it feels like you could plop some of these songs into a fucking musical, like especially Over the Ocean Call into Andrew. That is a very theatrical, connective, adhesive kind of moment there. Everybody, Jesus Christ, I should say it now. I'm going to say it 10 more times. Give Me a Minute is the name of the album. Go check it out on Spotify and everywhere else you hear music. She has about 1 million monthly listeners. God damn her. Yeah. Anyway, what did you expect? Did you expect any of this? And what do you expect going
forward? I never expect any of it. I keep my expectations very low. Because then when...
Good. That's the best approach to doing this podcast as well. As low as possible.
No, but I really like... I don't like to like have high expectations, because then if something doesn't happen, then I'll like have my feelings hurt. And we don't want that. So I keep my expectations very low.
You want that? I'll write a song about you, goddammit.
Right. So I just like I don't really expect any of this stuff to happen, and then when it does, I'm like just blown away. So.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I'm blown away on your behalf. I just like do you think this could have happened? Do you think this could have happened down the line if it didn't happen this year, or do you think this was a magical year for you?
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine it happening any other time. Like, I know this year was like insane in so many ways.
Yeah.
It was like simultaneously the worst year of my life and the best year of my life. So it's just,
yeah.
I don't know. It feels right somehow that like all of this was happening at the same time as like the world was like going into chaos and like,
chaos being the biggest understatement ever.
It just feels like there was no better time to have this happen.
Well, I would like to say on record here that I think that you were mine and probably just thousands and thousands of other people's. You were probably the best part of their 2020 in a lot of ways. And I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. If there was an award for best interruptions to a podcast, don't you think I'd get it? Because here I am again interrupting the podcast to remind you guys that without sponsors for this show, I like to take a minute to say, go support our guests. These are amazing artists doing amazing things, and you can keep up with everything that they got going on their social media. Everybody, go follow Lizzie McAlpine on TikTok. You can find Lizzie McAlpine on Instagram, and you can find Lizzie McAlpine on Twitter and beyond. Not to mention, she has an outstanding album out. It's called Give Me a Minute. Go to Spotify and download that shit, or stream it wherever you get your music. It is magnificent. Don't forget to follow. And hey, while we're here promoting shit, fucking subscribe to this podcast and tell your friends about it. If you like this podcast, I promise you'll like the other episodes. Go check them out. One little fun fact about this current episode you're listening to. While Lizzie and I were talking, we were in separate parts of the world doing this over a Zoom interaction, and I farted about 10 times, and she had no idea. All right, back to the interview. Let's step away for a minute from music and career stuff, because I actually want to just continue to get to know you with what I call Dumb Questions with Drew. It's a segment that's never happened before, but I just ask dumb questions. Lizzie, is there a food item or a meal that makes you so hungry that it almost comes along the line of horniness?
Biscuits. I love biscuits.
Holy shit. The speed at which ready to go.
Biscuits are like my favorite food. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with biscuits.
Biscuits dry by themselves? What do you do with the biscuit?
I mean, my family, my mom's side is from like upstate New York, and they're really into like, you know, maple cream and stuff like that. And so maple cream on a biscuit is just like phenomenal.
Okay. Maple cream on a biscuit sounds like the title of a porn anyway. So I understand. I understand the horniness aspect of that. Now, have you been to Jacob's Pickles on the Upper West Side in New York City?
I have not, no.
You have not? Goodness, girl. Okay, so next time you're in New York and when the world is less of a bag of shit, you should go to Jacob's Pickles. God willing, it's still open. And they have, in my opinion, some of the best biscuits. I'm sure I'm going to get comments for this now to correct me, but I think they have some of the best biscuits in New York City, where it might be a little hard to come by. Good biscuits. Good Biscuits is the name of the memoir. Lizzie McAlpine's life is called Good Biscuits. Next question for you, dumb question. If you could have a pet that wasn't a typical domestic pet, i.e. cat, dog, fish, bird, what would it be?
I feel like a ferret would be cool. I don't really know.
Okay, ferret. I feel like ferret is on the cusp of qualified as a domestic pet, the way that they are spoken of. And what is it about, you know, I've been told that ferret is my spirit animal.
Yep. I see that. Mine is a deer.
Who said that? Who decided that for you? Or did you decide that for yourself?
I mean, I've been told in the past.
I always get some rascally little critter. I never, like the way I look at myself as a musical genius and sex god, I always think that my spirit animal is something closer to like a tiger or a dragon, something mythical, a griffin, mythical that doesn't really exist, right? But then I asked this question to Brittany Holges of the band Delta Ray. Mm-hmm. She was on this podcast and she said, no, you're more like a gray fox wearing a tweed vest. It was so specific.
Oh my God.
That's what she said. That's what she said my spirit animal was. Okay, so a ferret. That's all right. You know what I would do? I would do a rhinoceros, but I would put these big flaps behind its head so it looked like a triceratops.
Oh, nice.
And I would ride it. I would ride it through New York City, and everybody would think that I had the last triceratops. Who is your high school, when you were in high school, celebrity crush? Who, not just a crush, who did you like desperately want to make out with?
I'd have to say that it was Dylan O'Brien.
Let's pretend I'm old and out of touch. Who's Dylan O'Brien?
He was in like Teen Wolf. I never watched Teen Wolf, but he was in that for some, I don't know. I never watched it. But he was in like the Maze Runner movies.
Maze Runner. God.
I don't know.
Have I seen a movie before?
Those were like, yeah, let me look up what else he was in.
Okay, all right.
He was in like, his main thing was like Teen Wolf, which I never watched.
I love that you had a crush on somebody whose real only significant credit was a movie that you've never seen before.
Okay, honestly, what's his face from Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief? Percy Jackson?
Oh, from the movie?
Yeah, Logan somebody?
Yeah, Logan somebody. Sure. I'm with you. I know who it is. I mean, I was obsessed with Alexandra Daddario, who was also in those movies, and I feel like I'm not alone in that. I have another question for you. What is something people would be surprised to learn that you are great at? Your acting and your songwriting and your singing, those are all on blast at all times. What's something that people would be very surprised? My guess, before you answer, here's my guess. Are you ready?
Okay. Yep.
I have a feeling you're really good at making those paper. What are they? The girls, a lot of fourth grade girls use them. It's this thing where you open it this. What do you call it though? It looks a little bit like a fortune cookie where you peel a number back and you go, "Ah, Drew's never going to have kids." And then you fold it back and then you keep doing it. I have a feeling you're really good at folding those.
Am I close? I haven't folded one in a very long time, so I don't know.
But you know, so I'm going to chalk that up as a yes for my guess. You know how. So what is now you answer correctly. What is something that you're great at that people would be surprised by?
Honestly, like, I don't really know. I don't know. I pretty much like, I mean, I'm really, this is music related, but I'm really good at weirdly good at sight reading piano sheet music. Like weirdly good at it.
Earlier you were talking about how you don't get theory.
Well, I don't, but I can just, I know what the notes
Clearly
are.
Clearly you do a little bit.
Well, kind of, I guess, but I can't do like lead sheets, like with just the chord names. I can't do that. But if you
you don't know, like if you're playing a song on guitar, you don't know the chords you're playing?
I mean, sometimes I do. If they're like basic chords.
There's a group of men waiting outside for you. They're going to arrest you and take you away. I cannot have this. I've sent them. They're my goons. They'll be there in 30 seconds tops. But they will be taking you away. You are no longer allowed to be in my company and in this business. I am amazed by that. God, my sister's the same way. It's like she's making these amazing progressions on the piano. And I go, oh my God, show me the chord. She goes, okay, it's this one. I go, yeah, what's it called? And she'll have no fucking idea.
I mean, I never write on piano. I've written on piano like a few times. But because I'm not good.
The day you start like really writing on piano, that's the day that you accidentally write a musical. I'm just saying it
okay,
right
well,
now.
Okay, well, okay, honestly, okay, if I'm being honest here, I wrote for my senior project in high school, I wrote a song cycle thing about Christopher Columbus.
Okay.
Yeah. But it wasn't like, it was like how shit of a person he was. It was honestly, some of the songs are like pretty good, but I would never.
His I Want song or his I Am song is, I'm not as rapey as everyone says I am. It's a big farce comedy. That's what I hope this is.
I mean, it was pretty close to that.
He's murdery. He's rapey. He's Christopher Columbus. Hi, everybody.
Yep.
Anyway. When that comes to Broadway, I'd like to, in turn for giving you the role in, it's kind of a funny story, I would like to get the role of Christopher yes. Columbus. Why do I want to? Why would I want yeah. to play Christopher Columbus? That's a horrible.
Yeah, that will
thing.
Never. That That's will never awful. Make it any farther than my SoundCloud.
Okay, yeah, good. Well, at least it'll make it to SoundCloud. I think that's amazing. Is it already on SoundCloud?
Yep, it is, unfortunately.
Oh my God, everybody go to her SoundCloud and listen to the latest hit, Murdery, Rapey, Christopher Columbus. Do you know any theater lore stories?
I do not.
Like, have you heard the story about, I think it's something like Carol Channing, her mic was left on and she went to the bathroom and she goes, "Corn? I don't remember having corn." And like everybody heard her say it because her mic was on. Well, I got a theater lore story for you, and I'm going to, hopefully I won't butcher it, but this is a story that it was told to me by my friend Alex Brightman, and it made me laugh and I thought I'd share it with you today. The story is about Ben Vereen. Do you know Ben Vereen?
No.
Okay, Lizzie just fell asleep. Ben Vereen is a theater legend, TV legend. He was in Roots. He was in the original cast of Pippin. He's a big name. He was Me Too'd back in 2017, so I don't know what he's doing these days. But up until that point, he was quite the guy. Anyway, so he was in Wicked for like 2 weeks or something like that. And he was playing the wizard in Wicked. And I forget the name of the monkey in Wicked. I think it's Chicory or Chistery or something like that.
But the
line is, "This here's my monkey servant, Chistery," or whatever the monkey's name is. When he said that line, he totally fucking blanked on the line. And this is exactly what he did. He goes, "This here's my monkey servant, Booger." And then the rest of the play... it's okay to laugh out loud. It's a podcast. But he called the monkey Booger, and then that leaves the rest of the show. Everybody has to refer to this monkey as Booger, which I think is amazing theater lore. Last little question for you, Lizzie, the alphabet. Do you think it's too long?
Yeah.
Which letters need to go? I'm glad you said that.
Why? I don't know.
I think Y could go.
Or Z.
Well,
Z, X. X is like random.
X could probably go. I think K needs to go. I think it actually, we need to have a sit down. C does it. C covers the whole thing. We don't need K.
That's true.
It's like putting a hat on a hat. You know, Y is useful because you need the y, and Z is helpful because it gives the z. What does K do that C does not already
do? That's
true. That's right. Okay. Anyway. Back to your music. Can you tell me about who your inspirations are? I'm sure that's a question you get all the time, but that must mean you have a great answer prepared. Let's hear it.
Well, when I was first starting to write songs, I took a lot of inspiration from Tori Kelly and Doty.
Mm-hmm.
Those were like the big ones.
Yeah.
And also Sarah Bareilles, because my mom would listen to her. These are all like people that my mom would listen to, especially Sarah Bareilles. We would listen to her album Little Voice like in the car all the
time. One of the greatest albums ever.
I was just upset. It was so phenomenal. And I was just obsessed with it. So I took a lot from her.
Yeah, well, I think the influence of all three of those people are wildly available in your music. Like, you can hear where you're not copying any of them, but man, and just in terms of the sonic landscape you're creating, I hear all those inspirations, all of them. Anyway, keep going.
I mean, I was going to say something and now I forgot what I was going to say.
Because I cut you off like a rude... I had to be a man and
it's
come
okay.
in.
It's okay.
Take your platform.
Now when I write songs, I kind of just get inspired by like everyone. It's not like a specific person. I mean, I definitely am inspired right now. I've been inspired by like, you know, Phoebe Bridgers and Holly Humberstone and like Ethan Grischka and like that type of vibe.
It's weird that I just think it's funny that you didn't mention my name once in all of this. So I guess that's fine. You know, just a little funny to me that I wasn't mentioned at all. I think you sound like just way more qualified versions of those people that you mentioned. They're listening. They'll hear that. Don't worry. They'll all hear that. They'll be totally embarrassed that I called them out in that way. Who's not a musician that inspires your songwriting? Like, is there an actor or a gardener or something that influences you? My family influences me like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when I first got to Berkeley, my songwriting was just like not great. And I was surrounded, especially like in the first semester, by all of my friends were jazz musicians. And I had never really, I never really listened to jazz. I didn't know a thing about jazz. And so like being surrounded by all these people who now were like so into jazz and like sang it all the time and like made it, it wasn't just like the old like jazz standards, which are phenomenal, but they were like taking it and putting it into a more modern, you know, thing. And like that really inspired me. So I feel like the people that I surround myself with are like continuously inspiring.
You never listened to jazz growing up? Because like your vocals, there's so much Ella, there's so much Sarah Vaughan, there's a lot going on in your voice that I could hear being inspired by those.
Not
those
really
artists.
You didn't really listen to that much jazz.
Wow. Well, you kept it to you kept it to the white girls.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Sarah Bareilles album?
Little Voice.
She gave you a shout the other day, didn't she?
She followed me like over the summer.
Okay, this is next level.
I literally, because, oh my God, I just can't. This past year, the reason why it's been like the craziest year of my entire life was because all of these idols and these people that I look up to started like noticing me and knowing who I am and following me on Instagram and commenting on my stuff and reposting my things. And I was like, what is going on? And Sarah was like,
yeah, people like Sarah Bareilles and Jacob, Jacob, why can't I think of his last name right now? Colbert, right?
Yeah, it's
Drew Gasparini.
Right. it's been crazy. But she did, we've had some interactions since she followed me, and it's just so wild.
How amazing. Yeah. Well, dude, it's not going to slow down anytime soon. This
past,
is going to be your life.
The past
girl.
Few days have been like insane. Like,
talk to me. Why? Tell me why.
Just, well, we're, I can't tell you all of it because it's some of it's a secret.
Well,
but
tell me what you can tell me. I want, this isn't going to air tomorrow either. This is going to be in a couple of weeks.
But we just started figuring out features for the album. And so I started reaching out to people and I got all of my first choices for the features. And like, it's just fucking crazy.
And we can't say who they are right now.
But it's crazy.
Oh my God. But off record, you will tell me.
No, yeah, I actually will if you want to know.
Yeah, I do. I really want to know. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then like last night I went live on Instagram for a little bit and I started singing Broadway songs and then Benj Pasek was just like watching and commenting and I sang some Dear Evan Hansen and he was like, oh my God, like this is phenomenal. Like I'm not surviving. I'm like, I'm dead right now. Like all this stuff. And I was just like, what the heck?
Well, let me ask a question about Benj. Has he offered you a role in a musical that... Because here I am, sister. You know, here's the thing about Benj and Justin, and I love them both. We both wrote on season 2 for Smash. Yes. We both did. And so did Joe Iconis. Whenever anybody finds out I wrote on season 2 of Smash, they go, you did? But if you say Joe Iconis and Benj and Justin, they'll be like, oh, the guys who wrote on season 2 of Smash. How did I get forgotten? Again, bringing it back to me. How did I get so neglected? I have to get a podcast to announce to the world what the fuck my resume is. Jesus Christ. That is amazing. I love that Benj is. Well, I mean, like you for, in terms of what your voice sounds like, boy, you'd be an absolute dream for what they write. You know what I mean? You'd be such a dream to like land in one of their scores on Broadway as well. But I have dibs. I have dibs. Yeah, it would be sick. But wouldn't it be so sick to do my show, Lizzie? That's what this is all about.
I can do both. There's enough of you to go around.
No, that's not how this works. That's I claim stake ownership in your talents. I'm like Ursula the Sea Witch. I will have your voice one day. A little off topic. What do you think about Armie Hammer right now?
Okay, I went in a deep dive in like good, in this other day when like nothing was going on, and holy shit, I was not expecting that. I was just like blown away.
Not expecting what? Like what's so out of the norm? The fact that he wants to eat human beings sexually?
So
weirdly
crazy. Oh God, I couldn't finish the article. I was like so ugh.
Oh, finish it. Or better yet, save some time and just rent Silence of the Lambs. If you watch that, I feel like you'll get a better sense of what he's experiencing. Here's a question. I agree. We shouldn't kink shame. But where do we draw that line? If cannibalism, let's say, let's just pretend cannibalism is the kink. I don't know who it could be referring to, but maybe that person, maybe it's Armie Hammer. Maybe their kink is to be a cannibal. Is that where we're allowed to start kink shaming? Lizzie McAlpine, your thoughts?
I feel like when you start eating people.
Yeah.
I mean... You should feel a little bit of shame for that.
You have to engage in the actual act of eating a person, or should you be shamed for announcing that what you would like to be doing sexually is eating that person?
I feel like any thought of eating people is just not okay.
You're right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. She is kink shaming. She's kink shaming right here on this show.
Oh, God.
That's a great band name, Kink Shame.
That is. It sounds like something that Andy would name his band in Parks and Rec.
That's true. You want to hear a funny story? Speaking of Andy from Parks and Rec, I was walking through Times Square and a family, like a dad, a mom, and their three children come up to me. And the dad says, "Has anyone ever told you you look like a chubby version of Chris Pratt?" And I was so taken aback by the fact that he needed to, A, use the word chubby, and also just let me know that I'm not that celebrity. You know what I mean? It seemed like a really strange conversation starter. Speaking of insults, you have a lot of people following you online. What is the weirdest thing that's been said to you online?
There have been some weird things. I'm sure of it. I take screenshots of them. I can look.
Oh, great. Let's do a comparison. You read one, I'll read one of mine.
There are a lot of like, "I'm in love with you, like let's get married," and I'm like, you know, maybe not.
Okay, so I shouldn't ask you that then at the end of this podcast.
Okay. Oh, where are they?
I keep all of mine in a folder titled "People Who Hate You."
That's a good idea, actually. I might do that. I get a lot of comments, like it's mostly like middle-aged women.
Yeah.
But I posted a video of like a Phoebe Bridgers cover, and someone commented, "Don't like this one." I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
Like, you didn't need to comment that.
It's so unnecessary. That's the equivalent of, did anyone tell you you're chubby Chris Pratt? That's just, I don't need to hear that. What possessed you to just let me know? That's so bizarre.
I know. Oh, I found my favorite one. My favorite DM that I ever got was, it was just a response to like a random like story. It had nothing to do with what they said, but they said, "Do you remember me? We were lovers in a past life."
Oh, gross. Oh my God. These like, are on okay, your DMs cool. on social media, but these sound like horrible Tinder pickup lines.
Yep.
You got any more? I love this. I could do this. We could just do this for the whole podcast. I would have loved this.
Oh yeah. I mean, I hate talking about this, but I'll talk about it because, you know, why not? It's okay.
All right.
When I put that like 1975 song on my TikTok,
yes,
and it blew up, and then I went on my Instagram and I was answering questions, and someone was like, "Why won't you release that song?" And I was just, was honest. I was like, "I don't really want to."
Yeah,
like, it's just not my vibe right now. And people were mean. People got angry. People were like, people went on Twitter and they were like, "Why is she being like so rude about this?" Recently someone was like, "I don't understand that. Like, why don't you want your fans to be happy?" And I was like, "Yes, but also I want to be happy with the music I release." Like, what?
Don't your fans want you to be happy? I love that. Second nature. You are serving them. That's it. You're in the service industry. That's how they look at it. And you know what? It's gotten to the point that your whole TikTok bio is like, "Don't ask for the 1975
literally,
song."
Literally. It's so, so annoying.
God, I love it so much.
No, I just don't understand.
All right, my turn. I'm going to read my favorite of all time. And I get some bad things on YouTube, and I should take more screenshots of those. But this is just an Amazon Music review from my album, I Could Use a Drink, which came out in 2013. Mm-hmm. This is from a woman named, and I would love if she's listening. I'm sure she's not. Based on this review, you would probably assume that she is certainly not. But... Josephine Hull, if you're listening, this one's for you, babe. She gave me one star first of all, which is just, there's no review needed after that. I get it, loud and clear. Right. The subject of the review is yuck, with, it's like Y-E-C-H exclamation point, yuck. Wow. That's the subject. Here's what she wrote. Absolutely horrible. Don't know what these others are thinking, giving it bigger reviews. They must be family and friends. This is schmaltzy, sickening, and sounds like a million other guys recording. Nothing on it is noteworthy, and this guy will, in all caps, never make it because he does not stand out. Lose the stupid cap. You lose the dumb blog comments. I don't know what she's referring to. And figure out a way to play music that we haven't heard a million times, all caps again. Save your money.
Dang, girl.
Yeah, my favorite is
that she was aggressive.
Schmaltzy. And then she said, lose the stupid cap. Because I used to wear a Newsies cap back then, which she's right. And you know what? Nice. I listened to her. Now I'm on trucker hats. How do you like that? So it's evolution as far as I'm concerned. Lizzie, we're getting close to an hour. I don't want to take up much more of your time. And I want to wrap this up. But first I want to say, before I give you my big closing warm, cozy hug, is there anything that you would tell? This really does go out to a lot of theater kids, but I'm hoping that other artists listen to this as well. Is there anything you would tell just young artists? Because in my opinion, if you're a theater kid and you want to do theater, you're not an actor, you're not a singer, you're an artist because you're contributing to creating something. So what would you tell all the young artists listening out there?
Oh my gosh. I mean, just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, never give up. Like, especially, let's just put yourself out there. That's literally all that I've been doing for the past like many years. I've just been putting myself out there, whether it's on Instagram or TikTok, or you're auditioning for things, or like just sending your songs to people. Like just do it. Just go for it.
Do it. Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Just shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot, people. That's right. That's straight from the mouth of the genius that is Lizzie McAlpine. I just want to remind you again, and I'm being so sincere. I know that I can be a little silly and unhinged on this podcast, but in the deepest depths of my heart, I want to say thank you so much for your music. It has inspired me endlessly to continue on. It goes without saying, I know that you feel the same about me, but I really do. Your writing has inspired me. Your album, Give Me a Minute, is, everybody go listen to it. It's out right now. It is so beautiful. And when you talk about who has inspired you, you have just started the next generation of those women that you named in that list. And I am just so happy for you. I'm thrilled for you. Aww. I can't wait to see what becomes of this big fat career you're about to have. And frankly, selfishly, I'm so happy I snuck my DM right in time, I feel like. I think I got it right before you blew up. So I really do appreciate you taking the time here and talking to me and being on this podcast. Lizzie, you are so lovely. No final words other than thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, you made it to the outro. Good for you. Thanks for listening to Now We're Talking. Just want to let you know that we are a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network, and you can find out a lot more about them and this podcast at bpn.fm/NWT. And you can find me, Drew Gasparini, on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. Just search my name, folks. A big special thanks to our guest, Lizzie McAlpine, for being an amazing doll. And to all you sexy buttheads for tuning in. Hey, make sure to subscribe and rate. You can find this podcast wherever you stream your podcast. Keep tuning in and tell your friends. Now use your sexy little fingers and do the sexy little act of subscribing.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheatre.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.